You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Well, we're in Jonah already. I love Jonah. I tell you what, he's special, isn't he? Can't you relate to Jonah? Doest thou well to be angry, Jonah? Yeah! He really knew God. Hallelujah. And you can see it. I think Scott really nailed it so well with what he said about the great plan of Elohim. He could not create a bride for Yeshua any other way. He had to do it the way he did it. God's pretty smart. He did not create us to be robots. We were born sinners, and we need to be born again. And it's sad how many people need to be born again. And it's only the grace of God. And we need to understand the plan. He knew Adam was going to sin when he created him. He didn't say, if you eat of that tree. He said, in the day you eat thereof, you'll die. But we see this incredible, awesome plan of God. We're going to study the gospel. I mean, plumb in the depths of the gospel. And none of us will ever master it. It's just so awesome. Everybody, even Paul the apostle, got mastered by the gospel. I just love Jonah. I mean, Jonah really knew God. He knew that if the people would repent, that God wouldn't blast those Ninevites. And he really wanted those Assyrian Ninevites. He wanted God to just blast them because they were bad. They were the baddest of the bad. They would go out and skin their enemies alive in front of the people to get them to surrender more quickly. And they were just bad. And he wanted God to get them. And so when God told him to go to Nineveh, he grabbed a ship going the other way. He wanted to get as far away from Nineveh as he could. God had all that figured out, too. That's part of the reason why he picked Jonah. Because the god of Nineveh was old Dagon. Dagon was a pretty popular god. He looked like the Pope when the Pope had his Pope hat on. That's what Dagon looked like. The Pope with his Pope hat on, the fish god Dagon. And it was a pretty popular god over there. And Jonah's on that ship heading for Tarshish. And there was a great storm, and God had already prepared that great fish for Jonah. God had already prepared that great fish. And so Jonah gets thrown overboard. Jonah gets thrown overboard, and he's in the belly of that whale for 3 days. Yuck. Ugh, yuck. I mean, you've cleaned some fish, haven't you? I do. And yucky in there. He's in there for 3 days, pretty dark. It doesn't smell good. And in the process of those 3 days, and I'm sure you know about this, you know, these fish eat another little fish, and if it's been in there more than a day, it's just as white as the background on the computer screen. The whole thing is just that white. And so this great fish swims right on over to Nineveh. It just barfs old Jonah right up on shore. He just is white as that. Everybody knew where Jonah had been. He'd been in the belly of their fish god. So when he says repent, they took him real serious because he was pretty close to old Dagon. It was like their fish god sent him a special messenger, and he was such a mess nobody could miss where Jonah had come from. And he walks through Nineveh, and he just says, 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed. 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed. Well, they believed him. He was very believable in his condition. Oh, yeah, you think about it. And see, Jonah, he knew God. He just really knew God. So he did what God told him. Then he sat there and he figured that God had fled him anyhow. But no, they repented. Those people repented. And God had his gourd grow up to give Jonah some shade. Then he sent a worm in there to kill that gourd that had grown up to give Jonah shade. And so Jonah's back out in the sun and he's really upset. And God says to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry, Jonah?" I tell you, sometimes I read that and I fall off the chair. I mean, it's really an ROTF. But we're all a lot like Jonah. We really are. What a miracle, indeed. What a miracle. I don't need my arm twisted real hard to go through Jonah. I love Jonah. Hallelujah. What a great prophet. And just remember this. Jonah was not a false prophet. Don't miss this. This is really important. Jonah was not a false prophet. No, he wasn't. You know, a lot of people say, well, Jonah was a false prophet. No, that's the only thing they know about judging whether a prophet is a true prophet or a false prophet. They say if somebody says something's going to happen, thus saith the Lord, and it doesn't happen, they're a false prophet. No, that's not how you figure out who a false prophet is. A false prophet will try to lead you after another god. That's why it's so difficult to get the Jews to receive Yeshua. This is why the Jews find it so difficult to receive their own glorious Messiah. Because the only thing they know, every rabbi in the whole wide world says how you tell a true prophet from a false prophet. And the correct way you tell a true prophet from a false prophet is if they would lead you to go after other gods. What was Jonah's message? 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Was Nineveh destroyed in 40 days? No. Was Jonah a false prophet? No. No more a false prophet than Isaiah. God told Isaiah to go in and see his good friend, the good king Hezekiah, and tell Hezekiah to get his house in order. The Lord said the sickness that he had was unto death, and Hezekiah was going to die, and Hezekiah needed to get his house in order. Did that sickness kill Hezekiah? No. Certainly, Isaiah was not a false prophet. Now, if you're trying to share the gospel with somebody who's Jewish, they're always going to take you to Deuteronomy 13, where you do get the classic teaching, the correct, true teaching on how to tell a true prophet from a false prophet. And it's not whether something they say, thus saith the Lord, comes to pass or not. We need to remember, even if it doesn't happen in that time frame, it's still going to happen. How many times do you think I get accused of being a false prophet? And I'm generally pretty good about being careful not to say, thus saith the Lord. I don't have to worry about saying, thus saith the Lord, when it comes directly from the KJV Holy Bible. I don't have to worry about that at all. And I really don't worry about whether people call me a false prophet or not. Unless God would, then I'm really worried. And we should be careful about what we say regarding thus saith the Lord or not. I'm sure all of you at times have heard what I call spiritual fruitcakes running around. Lord told me this, Lord told me that, Lord told me this, Lord told me to give you this word, Lord told me to say this to you. Everything out of their mouth, Lord told me this, Lord told me this. And half of what they're singing contradicts the more sure written word of God in the KJV Holy Bible. God will not contradict himself. And we need to be careful when we speak in the name of the Lord. It is a very, very serious thing to speak in the name of the Lord. We should be very careful about that. Because it is a serious thing to speak in the name of the Lord. And you don't have to worry if you're quoting Scripture, and it's in context, and it's rightly divided. But when you try and share the gospel with the Jew, right away they're going to take you to Deuteronomy 13, saying, I'm not going to be led after another God. Well, it's not another God. Yeshua is the I Am, who taught the Torah to Moses. And what you need to do is take them directly over to Deuteronomy 18. And in Deuteronomy 18, you see a little p prophet, Moses, and a capital P prophet that God said, if you don't hear him, you will pay big time if you don't hear from him. And that capital P prophet of Deuteronomy 18 is Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. You gotta like Jonah. I hope you can relate to Jonah. I sure can. I love Jonah. He's fantastic. And he was not a false prophet. He just wanted God to blat those guys. Let's go to Jonah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just do thank you. Hallelujah. It is so wonderful, even beyond understanding, the privilege that you give us. And we thank you for being able to hear what you gave to Brother Scott to share with us about your great plan. Your eternal purpose in the earth is the church, the body of Messiah, bright for your only begotten and perfect Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And we thank you for that revelation, for letting us know that it was your will to send Yeshua to be a necessary sacrifice, that you might extend mercy to us and still consign Satan and all of his followers to an eternal lake of fire. But your purpose was to provide a bride, the body of Messiah. What an awesome mystery. And we thank you that you have let us know these things. The secret things belong to you, Father. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children. And Lord God, we grieve over how that our children have become our enemies. How far removed the young people in this generation are removed from you. And we ask for your help in being effective witnesses to the young people who have grown up in the midst of such confusion and perversion and evil and wickedness. It is as it was in the days of Noah, and most people don't recognize it. Live in the midst of such corruption, such wickedness and evil, that we become desensitized, Father. But thank you for letting us know about this generation in which we live, that though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in this generation, they would not be able to say son or daughter. We need to know that. Though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in this generation, they would save but their own selves by their own righteousness and would not be able to save son or daughter. In one house, three against two and two against three, the father against the son, the daughter against her mother-in-law. And we grieve, we groan, we mourn over this, and we ask for your help to be good witnesses. But we thank you for letting us know that we have privileges bigger than we can understand, that we might talk to you, that you do hear our prayers, you hear every thought that we think. We ask that you help us by your Spirit to be mindful that you know what we're thinking. And we thank you for letting us know that we have your word, that we have your word, that we need wisdom, and so we ask. And we thank you for how many times you've shown us. We have not because we ask not. We thank you for giving work to Mark. He asked and he received it so fast his head is spinning. He needs another like it to do all the work that's made available. And work is a blessing, and we thank you that you provide work. What would we do if we didn't have work? We thank you for being Adonai Rapha to Sister Gail, and how many times you've manifested your glory as Adonai Rapha power for our Sister Mary, and we ask that you would do it again, that again we would see your almighty power to heal where the doctors say there's no way. You make the way. We thank you for all those people that have sought to honor you by sustaining us in this strange work and calling of this great joy and great tribulation work that you sent us to do. Lord God, we ask your blessing and protection upon all of them. And we just are in awe of your goodness, Father. And help us not to be as Jonah. Things have got to happen. You have a burden to perform everything in your word. And it must be brought to pass. Thank you for letting us know that we have your word, that we have your word. But we need wisdom. We need to know what you want us to know from this more sure word. And we thank you for that promise. We just bless you, Father. Thank you. In Yeshua's name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Why did he do that? Well, he wanted God to hammer those Ninevites. Those Ninevites were wicked. Just like everybody wants to hammer Israel. Everybody wants to hammer America. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, that great city, Babylon. Who's the king of Babylon today? Used to be George W. Bush. Now it's Obama. Not just Obama, Hussein. Barack Hussein Obama. How insane can it get to have a Muslim occupying the White House? How insane can it get to have Hussein in the White House? A man who could not possibly, any way, shape, or form, meet the qualifications of the Constitution to be president. How insane can it get? The war on terrorism. You show me terrorism and I'll show you there's Muslims involved. We love Muslims. You know we love Muslims. We love them in spite of knowing what their religion's duty is. Their religious duty is cut the neck off of every Christian and Jew in this world and every non-Muslim. The only way they can seem to please their Allah God, who is none other than Satan, Lucifer, Satan, the devil. The only way they know that they can please their Allah God is by killing everybody that's not a Muslim, or enslaving them at least. But we love Muslims. We hate their God. We know, thank you for letting us know, what our duty is to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Muslims all over the world celebrated the death of thousands of people in that catastrophe. Nobody celebrated more than the so-called Muslims, the so-called Palestinian Muslims. On 9/11, the Twin Towers came down. And it was used as an excuse to invade Afghanistan and invade Iraq. It was used as an excuse. Billions for bombs, but nothing for Bibles. And as a matter of fact, the Bibles that the troops in Afghanistan bought with their own money to get to these Muslims to really do something about the Muslim problem, Hussein in the White House took those Bibles, confiscated those Bibles that those American soldiers paid for with their own money, took them away, confiscated them. I saw an official document, an official Pentagon document the other day, which listed 10 reasons why Christians should not be allowed in leadership positions in the U.S. military. How insane can it get? Babylon. Confusion. Washington, D.C. today is the closest parallel to any city on this earth today to Nineveh. Washington, D.C. today is Nineveh. Babylon. Confusion. Hussein's in the White House. He's the king of Babylon. Whoever has troops occupying Iraq is the king of Babylon. We're in the last days, brethren. God wants people to repent. The Christian way is not to bomb the Muslims to hell. No, that's not the way a Christian country would do things. We have become the antithesis of a Christian nation. That's one thing that Obama said that was true. Hussein said that America is not a Christian nation anymore. Not the way it's controlled. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish. Tarshish is America today. When Jonah got that ship, Tarshish was the British Isles. Tarshish always was known as the westernmost part of the world. He couldn't go any further west than Tarshish in Jonah's time. Today, if you go west of America, you're in the east. So when you see this word Tarshish in your Bible today, understand that this word Tarshish is another word for America today. Babylon means confusion, where God confused the languages. America fits the prophetic scriptures about Babylon today. You want to see America in the Bible? Read Jeremiah 51. Read Jeremiah chapter 48, 49, 50, and 51. You'll see America. You want to see America in the Bible today? Read Deuteronomy chapter 28. You'll see the entire history of America, past, present, and future, in just one chapter in Deuteronomy 28. Saying, aren't you an American, Jim? Of course I am. I love my country. When I was a little boy, America was filled with God-fearing, hard-working people who feared God. Even in the taverns, the people feared God. They don't today. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish. He wanted to go as fast as he could, as far as he could, the direction opposite to the way that God told him to go. Why did he do that? He wanted God to bless these wicked, evil Ninevites. God wasn't surprised by how Jonah responded. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Isn't this something? Jonah really knew God. You say what you want to about Jonah, but Jonah knew God. Jonah knew that if the people would repent, God would forgive. You read Deuteronomy chapter 28. Everybody in America ought to read the history of America. Deuteronomy 28. The history of America, past, present, and future. Deuteronomy 28, the history of America, past, present, and future, in just one chapter. But even no matter how far removed and how deep is the wickedness, if they would turn and ask for God's mercy and repent, it's not that God's grace is not there. It's that people don't want God's grace. They don't want to walk in the fear of God. And the fear of the Lord is His treasure. And the fear of God is learned. Here is Jonah. These sailors are terrified and petrified, and Jonah's laying down there sleeping. Oh, he trusted in the Lord, even though he was in such great disobedience. Look at his trust in the Lord. Jonah really knew God. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." And they said, "Every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told him. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us?" For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Nothing surprises God. God had this all prepared. He knew what Jonah was going to do. He knew that the God of the Ninevites, just like the God of the Philistines, was Dagon, the fish god. Looks just like the Pope with his mitre hat on. That's how the fish god Dagon looked. Had a Pope hat on. No, Dagon came before the Pope. First Pope was Constantine. Peter never set foot in Rome. Peter was buried in Jerusalem. Peter wasn't the first Pope. The first Pope was Constantine. Had a fish god hat. That's what that strange Pope hat is, kind of pointy and kind of rounded up pointy. It's like it's supposed to be a Dagon hat, including the two tails running down the back. What an abomination. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish, because that was the god of the Ninevites. The fish god, Dagon, looked just like the Pope with his Pope hat. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You remember what Jesus said, don't you? When they asked for a sign, he said, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there would be no sign given unto this generation save the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the earth." He would be in a tomb for 3 days and three nights, but he wouldn't stay in the tomb. He would be put into a tomb dead, and he was dead. No more certain proof of death exists than when the heart is pierced in the pericardium, the blood in the pericardium. When the heart is ruptured, it immediately separates from the red cells and white cells, immediately separates in a fraction of a second. John was right there, and he said, I saw it. That centurion knew what he was doing. He pierced the heart of Jesus Christ on that Wednesday in Nisan 14 in 30 A.D. God made it get dark. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday, Nisan 14, and that centurion pierced his side. John said, I saw blood and water come out. Pierced the heart with his spear. And Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, was dead. The Lamb of God was sacrificed for sinners slain on that Wednesday, Nisan 14 in 30 A.D. And they put him in that tomb. It wasn't Friday. How can you have Friday and a resurrection on Sunday? Was that 3 days and three nights? Somebody ought to teach arithmetic to somebody. No, it was Wednesday. Wednesday, Nisan 14 in 30 A.D. He was in there Wednesday night. All day Thursday, they couldn't finish the burial job on Thursday because that was Sabbath. Passover, Nisan 15. And he was in that tomb Thursday night. Friday, they couldn't finish the burial on Friday because that was the first day of unleavened bread, a Sabbath. He was in there Friday night. Saturday was the high Sabbath of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits. And he was in there all night Friday night, all day Saturday. And before it got dark, before it was dark, on Saturday, Nisan 17, he was out of that tomb. 3 days and three nights, Jonah was in the belly of the fish, 3 days and three nights. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ was in the earth in that tomb of the rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, 3 days and three nights. Mary was worried about who's going to roll this stone away. As soon as it was legal for her to get to that tomb to finish the burial job, she was on her way to that tomb. And you know what she found? She went to the tomb twice that night. It's the only way the four Gospels harmonize. His sign of Jonah. And as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so was the Lamb of God slain for sinners in that tomb, the body. His soul and spirit was in paradise, but the body of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the I Am, who taught the Torah to Moses, was in the tomb, just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Can God hear your prayer? Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, if God could hear Jonah's prayer, he can hear your prayer. He knows every thought you think. Don't ever forget it. Can you imagine this Jonah, though? How it took him 3 days to get sense enough to pray? I want you to think about this. Now, Jonah knew God, but Jonah was a hardhead. He was just as much a hardhead, stiff-necked, knucklehead as me. Amen. Don't you feel silly sometimes when you suffer? And it's like, let's take something simple. I lost my keys. I can't find my keys. I can't find my keys. And you spend a half an hour looking for it, and then you finally get enough sense to pray. And, oh, there they are. I forgot I left them there. We've all been there. Come on, let's be honest about it. Maybe we're not as bad as Jonah. Maybe we're not as hard-headed as Jonah. But it took this guy 3 days and three nights in the most horrendous, horrible environment. Can you imagine a place more dark and stinky and horrible than the belly of a whale? Can you imagine? And it's 3 days. How long did you wait until you asked the Lord to get you some work, Mark? How long did it take the Lord to get you some work? Once you prayed and asked the saints to join you in agreement. And you'll always find the saints join and agree in that prayer because work is a blessing. God intends for us to work. What would we do if we didn't have work? If our minds continually thought about the evil in this generation that we live in, where not even Noah, Daniel, or Job would be able to save their children. Amazing. But after 3 days and three nights in that horrible situation, then, finally, then, Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and God could hear him down in that deep ocean inside of the belly of the fish, and the Lord heard him. What did Jonah pray? Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. He said, I don't like it in here, Lord. Get me out of here. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just get me out of here. I wasn't there, but I think it was probably something like that. I cried by reason of mine affliction. You talk about affliction. I want you to think about what it'd be like to be in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. That's affliction. I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Now, I want you to understand something right here and right now. Hell is real. And if you wake up in hell, you can cry for all eternity, and you will not be heard there. You could be in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights and cry out to God, and he'll hear you. You wake up in hell. A lot of people don't believe in hell. They'll believe it when they wake up there. You wake up in hell, you can cry out as much as you want to cry out for all eternity, and you'll never be heard. But Jonah cried out by reason of his affliction unto the Lord. And the Lord heard him. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then said I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thine holy temple. Oh, if people could understand this the way Jonah did. Those wicked, evil Ninevites. Those wicked, evil Ninevites. Jonah knew if they would repent, God wouldn't destroy them. Then said I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. There is no other way. There are not many roads. There is one straight gate that you have to press through, and the way is very narrow. There is one way and only one way. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation, Yeshua, is the word. Yeshua. Salvation. Salvation in any language. Yeshua. Jesus. salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. This guy was as white as the background of your computer when you're typing a note on your computer. You've got real black ink and real white paper. Jonah was just about as white as that paper. Head to toe, he was bleached that white from the acid in the whale's belly. And I've cleaned enough fish to let you know of a certainty Jonah was just about as white as that paper after being in that fish's belly for 3 days. And the god of these people in Nineveh was the fish god. Well, here was somebody that the fish god deposited on the shores of Nineveh, and obviously he had been deposited there by a fish. There wasn't anybody that could take a look or smell Jonah that didn't know this guy came out of the belly of a big fish. And since their god looked like the Pope, the fish god Dagon, they heard what he had to say. He had a real simple message. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose. It was a simple message. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them, for the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Not to Dagon, no. Cry mightily unto the God who sent this man out of the belly of a whale, to say, 40 days shall Nineveh be destroyed. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God, yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Don't go the way of violence, child of God. That's not the way. You let God handle the vengeance department. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And that's the reason I so very strongly support what Pastor James David Manning is doing. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. They stopped their violence. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Did that make Jonah a false prophet? Did it? Did that make Jonah a false prophet? No. Jonah knew God. Jonah knew that's what God would do. But watch this guy now. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He wanted God to bless these people. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Hallelujah! Oh, what an awesome, glorious God! Doest thou well to be angry? Oh, hallelujah. God loved Jonah. Sure he did. Oh, Jonah was a hard head. Doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. He liked that gourd. I'll tell you what, when his skin was bleached totally white by that fish, he probably could sunburn pretty easy. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. What an awesome God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, this is good. But God prepared a worm. And when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished himself to die, and said, it's better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? Oh, hallelujah. Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? Listen to Jonah. Can you relate to this? I can't. Can you relate to this? Hallelujah. It's so good to hear this in light of what we just heard from Brother Scott regarding God's great plan, the great plan of Elohim. God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. That's what he said. Can you see this? How about this, Jonah? I can relate to this. Can you relate to this? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, Jonah, Jonah. Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 80,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle? More than 120,000 people in that city that were so young. Children. More than 120,000 children. Had they done wickedness and evil? They didn't even know their right hand from their left hand.
Were you raised there?
Oh, glory to God. I don't know what it is, folks. But that's why I can't do Hebrew. Because Hebrew goes from right to left instead of left to right, and everything I read, I don't know my right from my left today, but I'll tell you what I can do. I can hold my hands up. I can put my index fingers pointing straight up, my thumbs pointing toward each other, and I know that the hand that is the left hand forms an L, and that L not backwards like the L on the left hand. Yeah, the L is on the left hand. Did I say right? Well, these people were not as old as me. But I'll tell you what, they were little children. That's what God is saying here. They weren't like me, just stupid, not knowing my right hand from my left hand. I wonder if anybody else in the world has that problem. But you can. You can get it figured out. If you don't know your right from your left, you can hold your hands up, point your thumbs toward each other, your index finger straight up. One of those L's looks right, and the other L is backwards, and the L that looks right is your left hand. Okay? That's how you can do it. Did I get it right that time, babe? Thank you. Thank God for good helpers. Perfect helpers. Hallelujah. But look, there's 100, 60,000, okay? A score is 20. So 60,000, that's 120,000 little children. They didn't know their right hand from their left hand. And they weren't stupid like me. They were children. Not to mention the cattle. What kind of evil had the cattle done? Here's what God said. He said, Jonah, should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and left? Maybe they couldn't talk, most of them. Too young to talk. Maybe could just barely walk. Toddlers. Little two-year-olds. Should I destroy 120,000 toddlers and also much cattle? Well, that's Jonah. And that's our God. A God who delights to manifest his character. What is his character? His character is love. He defines what good is. He is willing to forgive, but listen, forgiveness, if it's going to happen, takes two people, takes two parties. One willing to forgive, like God is willing to forgive, but it also takes someone willing to admit that they need the forgiveness of God. And that's why, because iniquity abounds. That's why we see the love of many growing cold, even good people, even people who have lived as good Christians all their life, now have lost their compassion because iniquity abounds. And see, iniquity is what keeps people out of heaven. Heaven's going to be 100% filled with sinners, redeemed, repentant sinners, but no workers of iniquity. Oh, they can see the sin in other people. But iniquity begins with I. And if you and I are going to change anything, it has to start right there. I got to change Jim. And you got to change you. But if we will repent, if we will cry out to God, oh Lord God, will you forgive? Yes, he will. Jonah knew that. You see how well Jonah knew God. He may have been a hard head and a stiff neck, but he was not a false prophet. Nineveh wasn't destroyed in 40 days as Jonah said it was, but Jonah was not a false prophet. But you see here a God who is good. And he will forgive. Nothing surprises him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love this little book of Jonah. Glory to God. You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.